Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. We're doing a remote one here where everybody involved is in different locations. I'm delighted. I'm just so excited to say that he's back. Room Madge is back. Hello, mate.
Don't call it a comeback.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. It's so good to finally have you back on the podcast, man.
No, it's weird. We could have done this remotely loads of times, but
I know. We could have done. We'd organised it. We didn't. Yes, I've missed you too. Have you listened to any of the ones that you've not been on?
No, nothing.
Right. Okay.
I read a few reviews on iTunes.
Did you? What did you read?
There's someone on iTunes laying into Ben, so that was fun.
What?
I don't need to listen to this.
Well, so your loyalty to the podcast,
yeah, it's all whether I'm
that over. Yes. Yeah, so yeah. What I'm saying is, like, when you read them laying into Ben,
yeah,
did you think that's a shame for the podcast, or did you think, fuck Ben, that means that, you know, it shows how essential I am?
Oh, it's a hard one. I was worried about Ben. I mean, whether he'd seen it or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if he's not seen it, he's certainly going to look it up now, isn't he?
Hey, Ben.
So that's great. It really fucks... The iTunes reviews, I just think, is bullshit. Like, I don't see how people get so worked up about something that's free. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's some people on there that are proper vicious. Yeah. About me, by the way, I might add. And
they always just sort of say, we just always just talk about 90s hip hop and or Eminem. That seems to be the majority of the reviews.
Yeah, well, that's going to be the main focus for today, actually. So,
okay, nice.
How have you been? I've been really good, mate. Actually, I haven't been great because I had to have a medical recently.
Oh, yeah.
For a thing.
Trump's.
And they told me that I'm borderline obese.
Okay.
So I'm 2 stone overweight. I'm a clear 2 stone overweight. So since then, I've been on a diet.
Have you? How's that developing?
Well, I've sort of... I've just been eating very... Well, I've been eating very little. I've been eating very little.
Okay.
I'm doing this thing where you have a cheat day. Do you know about this?
Is this like 5-2 or whatever? No.
So like 6 days a week, I eat like very reduced calories. And then 1 day a week, I just fucking smash it out. I mean, like, yesterday was the cheat day.
Right.
I had a great, great day. Like, my mum brought over, like, a load of, like, Sri Lankan food.
Nice.
And now I just feel depressed. I'm just fucking depressed.
Dirty.
Yeah.
And have you got to lose this weight for whatever, for the job?
No, it's just for life. For life. They basically, like, monitored my blood pressure. And they said that my blood pressure is slightly high.
Okay.
And then she said, it's nothing to worry about. And then I said, okay, great. And then I said, how do I lower it? And she goes, oh, well, you're 2 stone overweight and almost obese. So I was like, fucking open with that, mate.
We should have a weigh-in at the beginning of every podcast record now.
I might start doing that. I haven't weighed myself. Then. Okay, well, from now on,
yeah,
I'm going to do like a little weigh-in.
Yeah.
What should we do? Stones and pounds, yeah?
I prefer stones.
Are you going to do weigh-in as well?
Yeah, because I want to lose some weight as well.
Right, okay.
I'm getting married at the end of July.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and lose a stone. Is that good?
I don't think you need to lose anyway. I think you look great.
Oh, but, mate.
But yeah, it's a nice thing to do, because then, like, the wedding photos are nice, aren't they?
There you go.
Have you sent out a save the date thing? Because I haven't...
Oh, no, we haven't done it yet. It's tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, brilliant. Right.
See how this goes. That.
Yeah, very excited. Very excited.
Well, we can both do weigh-ins then at the end of it. We could both do a weight countdown.
Yes, okay. All right, let's do that. So next podcast,
yeah,
we'll do like a starting weight.
Okay.
And then are you actually going to change your lifestyle though? It's absolutely fucking pointless if you're just gonna.
No, I am.
Right, you just can't just visualise it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, anyway, should we get on with this?
Yeah, go on.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
Basically, the last few podcasts, I haven't been doing very good intros to the guests.
Right.
So I want to intro. So I'm going to say, we've got Steve McNeil on. Hello, Steve. You're right.
I was starting to wonder if I dialed into the wrong podcast. You know.
I was ready to go for another 10 minutes.
Podcast. You know what? Genuinely, before I was doing this, like any other podcast I do, I'd just dial in and do it and not worry. But this one, because it's like about hip hop, and I want to make sure I talk about things properly. Like I've gone back and listened to music that I loved, and I've made sure I know things that I want to talk about. And then I dial in, and you guys just bang on about being overweight at Christmas. I've also found that Rupert Magendi, who I've known for nearly 10 years, was Roomage on the podcast, and I'd never made the link.
So, you know, like a lot of people just assumed it, like Roomage is just an Asian name. They just
I don't know what to believe anymore. But it's lovely to be here, Romesh. Thank you for having me.
What is your? I'm going to do an intro.
Looking forward to it.
I want you to
13 stone 1 for the intro if you've not got it already.
And is that are you is that the correct weight for your height?
I'm a little bit overweight, but I did lose 5 pounds over Christmas.
Did you? How did you do that?
Ill. Really ill.
Right. Okay,
delighted. Delighted.
Okay, so Steve McNeil, one half of McNeil and Pamphilon, extremely talented comic performer, also the star of Dave's Go 8-Bit, and also the host of... Is it Go 8-Bit DLC? Is that the correct title?
It is. And although they haven't made that again alongside Series 3, so that's been temporarily parked.
Okay. Also host of the temporarily parked Go 8-Bit DLC, as well as notorious for his fantastic show Wi-Fi Wars that he's going to talk to us a little bit about, as well as his love of hip-hop. Ladies and gentlemen, please can I welcome to you 13 stone 1, recently lost 5 pounds through some sort of dysentery. It is Steve McNeil. Hello, mate.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's
thank you very much for coming on. So how are you, Steve?
I'm really, really good. Yeah, I'm really, really good. Thank you for having me. It's I'm very, very busy at the moment because the TV show's starting in about, we're recording this sort of end of January and the TV show starts in a couple of weeks. So I'm gearing up at the moment. I've started doing online things and I'm trying to put a load of work together to do a load of online live stuff while the TV show's on, and it's just killing me. I'm just streaming every day. And
We just started talking about this before we recorded. Roomage, I don't know what you're doing before you came onto the little connection. And you were saying that you do a lot of like video game, like online video game where people watch you playing video games.
Yeah, people have started paying me to watch me play video games in my house, which Sam sort of describes it as just like a really nerdy, pathetic babe station, which it sort of is. But it's huge. Like, you know, your kids watch stuff on YouTube and things. But I started several times a week just streaming. I do Minecraft with Paul Foxcroft, another good comedian, on Mondays. Sam comes up and we play games against each other on Tuesdays, and we just hang out and play games and like give each other shit, and then people can talk to us in the chat and we sort of hang out, and it's just growing this little community. But the main reason for doing it was I figured while Go 8-Bit is on the telly, if I'm putting out a YouTube video every day about video games or I'm playing games over on Twitch, that's my best opportunity to steal Go 8-Bit's audience and get money directly from their pockets rather than do it through a TV company. So
that seems to be the way of things, isn't it? Direct to consumer is the way forward.
It's the Richard Herring model.
Anyway, listen, Go 8-Bit. Yes. I mean, actually, while we're talking about you playing online, live, this, do you feel a pressure... Because like when I play, normally I'm not wearing something appropriate. I'm sort of being my boxers or something like that, like a onesie. And I'll be sitting playing video games. And it's just abject silence while I eat like Doritos off my chair.
Yeah.
So do you feel a pressure? Do you, when you're playing, obviously you've got to be talking because nobody's going to pay money to sit watching you in silence.
No.
But like, do you feel a pressure to be witty, or are you just playing the thing and talking
about
it?
You try to, sort of. It's like talking to them all the time is the thing. So like the games that I play has changed. Like I started off playing games like Creed Origins or Battlefront, and because they're sort of so actiony, you can't actually keep one eye on what the people are typing and chatting to you. So I tend to play turn-based stuff or slur-based stuff where I can stop and chat, start and go.
Hopefully,
as you know, if you do comedy for as long as you have, then you hope that when you open your mouth, you can turn a phrase that's slightly more amusing than anybody else who would be doing it who's just a gamer. But
well, that is the hope. That is the hope, isn't
but
it?
I think it's like being a radio DJ, but you're playing games instead of music. Is sort of what it is. It's just always keep talking and you know, engage with whoever's listening to you.
And is there any pressure for you to be like fucking banging at the games, or
the beginning? I think that was the expectation, but I think the people who've now turned up and stuck with it have realised maybe that whilst I'm maybe a passionate fan of games, I might not be the gaming wizard that people would.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
trying. Rumage, are you into video games?
I used to be.
Right.
But no.
What was your game of choice?
Like an Xbox One, I think.
Yeah, but.
And my friend worked at Microsoft and used to give me loads of games, and they're still in my cupboard, not even opened. But I'd play Call of Duty, that's about it, I think. And Grand Theft Auto.
Sure, the boys' game.
But
did you did you play Grand Theft Auto properly?
No, I think I just sort of hung about. Because the music was quite good as well.
Yeah. There's a... Actually, I mean, here's a hip-hop connection. There's a good YouTube video of Kendrick Lamar playing Grand Theft Auto. I think it is Grand Theft Auto. And just slating some kid that's playing with him.
Oh, really?
It's well worth checking out. Yeah, it's well worth checking out.
Here's a little bit that you like to call. How did you get into hip-hop?
So, listen, Steve, you are a hip-hop fan,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am. Yeah. No, I have been since I was a kid, so all the way back to...
Right.
LL Cool J is probably the earliest one that I remember, or maybe 2 Live Crew, like early stuff that I remember when I was a kid.
Oh, my God, 2 Live Crew. This might be the first mention of 2 Live Crew. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad
was a DJ when I was a kid, and he used to play nightclubs and things, and... So he just had everything.
So he was a hip hop DJ, was he? He did hip hop.
There was a lot of electronic stuff as well. There was sort of all the sort of synth electric stuff in the '80s. Sort of, all the instrumental, just like all hissy noises and all that rubbish. But he was a DJ in a roller skating rinks in Milton Keynes by the time I was. But it seemed incredibly cool when I was 6 and he'd got all the records.
Right.
2 Live Crew.
But hold on, you can't play 2 Live Crew at a Milton Keynes roller skating rink, can you?
It was a nightclub. It was actually run, but there was a wrestler called what was his name? Johnny Kincaid. That's a deep cut for anybody who's a British wrestling fan. But he was a wrestler in the UK in I think the late '70s, early '80s, and then he got injured and he set up a nightclub in Bletchley, which I think it was in the Lake State. It was a really rough estate. And my dad used to DJ there. Yeah. So it was from there where I heard that sort of stuff. My dad used to always let me listen to everything. So, yeah, 2 Live.
So your dad used to listen to, let you listen to 2 Live Crew?
Yeah, anything. Like,
did you listen to, like, what, Me So Horny and Face Down Arse Up and
But the We Want Some Pussy was the one that I always remember. And I was not old enough to, like, I mean, I did not understand what was going on, but it was exciting.
I say, girls, don't hide it, just divide it, and please don't knock it until you've tried it. So to all of you bitches and all you hoes, let's have group sex and do the Rambo. Everybody say, hey!
I mean, there is nothing like hearing swearing for the first time in music, is there? I mean, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Well, not hip hop, but like Kevin Bloody Wilson, who's like the Australian, did all the comedy songs and just absolute.
I remember.
So yeah,
sounds was that like cunt. Where's my fucking
phone? Yeah, exactly.
Stick your fucking phone up your fucking ass.
Yeah, I'm only realizing it now, but my father was a dreadful parent.
What did your mum have a take on it?
No, I don't remember her being involved in it. I think she was just keeping out of the way because
just your little secret. Cast.
Well, I used to roadie for him when I was a kid as well, so I used to go out and lug all the kit. When I was about 11, 12 onwards, that was like how I made money, roadieing for him and some of the other DJs who we worked with, just lugging all the kit. So also, I just heard everything that was going on. Yeah, it's good money, man.
Rack your brains, give it some thought. What was the first hip hop album you bought?
Your first album was
Home Invasion. Ice-T.
How did you get hold of this album?
It was cassettes. It was at school, so it was everybody used to just pass cassettes around because I was never cool at school, but I had the good fortune to happen to sit next to one of the cool people on day one at the new school when I went to secondary school, and so I was sort of protected and thus on the periphery of the people who were smoking and getting up to mischief at school. And so that was sort of my way into all that. And so we were also, I think one, there was one guy, a guy called Sia Niba, And he took my Horace Brown cassette and never gave it back and kept saying he was going to. And I'm still angry to this day. That was a good album. Never got it back. But Ice-T, Home Invasion was the first one. And the intro on it, even before you get into the tunes, just it was funny. The intro was funny. Like people, I think sometimes people don't understand how much comedy there is. If they're not into hip hop, they don't understand it. But that first track where it's, you know, you're now listening to an ICLP, if you're offended, and he goes through all the words.
Like shit, bitch, fuck, dick, ass, ho, cum, dirty bitch, low motherfucker, nigga, hooker, slut, tramp, dirty low slut, tramp, bitch, ho.
Yeah, take the tape out now at the end of it. And it's just that lovely little subversion of you're just saying all this, like, especially when I must have been maybe 12, 13 when that came out, and just hearing all of that and then there being this lovely little punchline on the end of it. It's just, yeah. Yeah. Dirty love, slut, tramp, bitch, ho, all of it was ridiculous. Like 30 seconds of just swearing. It was amazing.
Yeah, but Home Invasion is interesting actually, because it is a good album. I've got mixed feelings. It's probably the album that signaled the start of Ice-T's kind of decline, I guess. It's still a good album, but it was sort of after OG and after Freedom of Speech. Did you go back and check any of those albums out, or did you sort of
Since and listened to some of it, but my relationship with the music has always been, because my dad was a DJ, it was singles. Like when I was a kid, it was always singles from artists were the ones that I knew rather than the albums, because he just bought whatever was charting or was popular at the time and play through those. So albums was more at school. So Ice-T, I've listened to some of it now and gone back through all of those guys. But at the time, that was the one that I got given, and that was just on loop. So I mean, like 99 Problems on that, the original one, not the who did the Jay-Z. So the original, like I'd forgotten how horrific it was until I went back to it a few years ago.
Mate, it's so funny.
It's amazing.
Got a bitch with tits, a bitch with ass, a bitch with none, but hey, I give her a pass and I love them all. I love them crazily and they love me back. That's why they stay with me. So if you're having girl problems, I'll prepare for your son. Got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one. Hit it.
When you sort of get nerdy about music and you go, I know my stuff, and then when Jay-Z comes out in 99 Problems, you go in, well, nobody knows actually it was originally Ice-T that came up with that hook or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's on Home Invasion. And then you listen to 99 Problems on basically, it's just the fucking worst song ever, man.
It's so
like the way Jay-Z does it is he describes all the other problems that he's got in his life and then he goes, so I've got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Whereas Ice-T describes all of his bitches. I mean, that's
he just lists 99 bitches by negative character traits. That's all that song is. That's all it is.
Can you remember any of them?
I've got it in front of me because I'm just going to... We did a sketch in our 2011 sketch show where we had Ice-T bringing that in and then have a conversation about whether it might be okay or not. But yeah, I'm not going to rap it, and I'm not going to attempt to do it. But there's a hoe from the east, got a hoe from the west, got a hoe that likes to jack it off and rub it in her chest. I got a hoe from the north, a hoe from the south, a hoe that likes to suck it long and hold it in her mouth. I got a bitch with hair, a bitch with none, a bitch with a knife, a bitch with a gun, a bitch with an ass big as a TV set. There's a bitch over there, heck, the one I'm going to get. Maybe not. She might not like me, though. No sweat to a vet. I'll slam her sister, though. And it's just the entire thing. I've got a bitch with a mink who rocks a fat gold link who likes to fuck me with her ass on the kitchen sink. It's just, it's endless. It's amazing.
Oh my god! What a nightmare it'd have been if that bitch that likes a mink liked to fuck him in the garden.
It wouldn't have rhymed.
Then he couldn't have included it in the song. Do you know what I mean?
It's a pity.
No, it's fortunate. It was the sink, isn't it?
It's so bad, but it's incredible. And again, when I was first year at secondary school, just that the amount of filth in that album.
Oh my god! Well, that I remember that album having a dreadful, dreadful cover because it's
badly
like
drawn cartoon thing.
Yeah, isn't it like this white kid sort of sitting with headphones on and there's like kind of Ice-T's in the background of it looking like Mufasa in The Lion King, like when he, after he dies, he's sort of up in the air and then all of these influences are going into this kid's that's kind of, that was sort of the whole idea of Home Invasion. Oh, what, wasn't
like
it?
He's sort of rotting their brain, sort of.
Yeah, like he's invading your house through the music. Ooh, or whatever.
Deep. And it's one of those albums where, like, you know, when computer graphics first came out and computer graphics were rubbish, but people wanted to use computer graphics. It's like that, but hand drawn, yes. And there's no reason they couldn't have just drawn it better. It looks like pencils were just invented and no one's quite worked out what to do with them yet.
Ice-T's music, what I would say about, because I used to be a massive, right, Ice-T fan, and I loved OG. Ooh, and I loved, yeah, Home Invasion. And I went to see Body Count, oh, wow, Live, right, his, right, metal, right, band or whatever. But like, the thing is that his music is, it just does not age, no, well in the slightest. I mean, you go back to it now, it's fucking unlistenable, man. Like, I just can't, it's so bad. And you sort of listen to, like, you listen to, and that's not even because of how long ago it was, because it was quite a while ago. But like, you listen to other rap, like hip hop from that time, and it's fine. You can listen to it, yeah, now and enjoy it. But Ice-T, I don't know, it just doesn't stand up at all, man. I just not, yeah, it's not great.
Is he still making tunes, or is he just sort of TV and film?
I think he's just TV and film. Like, I watched one of his, because is it like Ice and Coco or whatever, his reality show?
Misses, misses, yeah.
Where he, like, it's really, I don't know, it's sort of a bit sad. It's not sad. He's married to Coco, and they're having their lives. That's fine. People got to grow up. I'm not expecting it to be following him around on the street slanging keys or whatever. But it's sort of like, there was one bit where she'd like done a vocal. She'd sung a vocal at some studio, and he took it and made a house tune out of it and then played it at her birthday. But it's one of the just saddest things I'd ever seen. But anyway, Ice-T, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the podcast, mate. So you listen to Ice-T, and then you're into some other stuff from that kind of era, right?
Yeah, actually, before that, it was LL Cool J. So it was, because like I said, my dad was a DJ, and before he ended up at roller skating rinks, he used to do, was quite into scratching. But there was 1988, there's a DJ called Cash Money. Did yeah, incredible DJ, yes, but he did he won the world championships, and he was doing scratching on I'm Bad by LL Cool J. And my dad had a vinyl record, yeah, of the world mixing championships, and that was on it, and just had that on repeat for ages. And there was a few different ones, like Rock the Bells was on somebody else's set, and just so I heard a lot of early hip hop stuff through sort of sampling and scratching and that sort of stuff, but like white label vinyl, like nobody had it was just that sort of thing, because my dad was a DJ, he'd get those sort of stuff. It really, really helped me at school, not only because before Spotify and things, if you had all the music, that was quite like, if people just say, oh, I really would like to get my hands on that tune, and you could just copy it for them that night and take it back, it's prevented an awful lot of bullying, having a dad that had all of the decent music.
Yeah, holy shit. And then how much into scratching were you? Because I sort of went through, I didn't ever do it myself, but I used to love watching the DMC championships. Yeah,
I've had little plays on my dad, because my dad had proper, like, what were they, 1210s, the Technics ones? So my dad had those, but he'd given me his old decks that he used to do when he did, like, DJing at, you know, weddings or whatever. And you couldn't scratch on those, but you could beat match, because it got the pitch control thing. So I used to do, like, get the instrumental of one track and get the a cappella of another, and just try to beat match and do, like, little remixes and things, and, like, record those on cassette and things. So that, but you couldn't scratch on those decks.
Did you have any particular remixes that stood out?
A really, really good one. And you didn't even have to change the pitch. You just kicked both of them at the same time. There was an instrumental of Dub Be Good To... an a cappella of Dub Be Good To Me. And there was an instrumental of a Cookie Crew track, right, which again is a really random reference. But the Cookie Crew, they were like East London... I don't know if they were sisters or two girls. But they did sort of like a London sort of... It wasn't quite hip-hop. I don't know what you'd call that genre from that area in that time, but... Yeah, those two went together really, really well. And you literally just pressed go at the same time both, and then looked amazing for 3 minutes.
I remember a friend of mine bought an electric guitar, and we used to perform a rock remix of Mama Said Knock You Out.
Over the instrumental? Yeah.
I would actually do the vocals for it. Wow. So it's pretty fucking amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. I might try and find a recording of it and I was about to say put it out, but what I'll actually do is destroy it. I remember like getting really into DJing and shit like that. And then I started buying, do you remember the Scratch Pickles? I've talked about this in another podcast, I think.
Yeah.
But the Scratch Pickles, like Cuba, he was banned from the DMC Championships because he was too good. And they just thought he'd win every time. I think he might have won 3 times in a row. Forgive me for not knowing the proper history. But I used to, they used to release their practice tapes. and then dickheads like me would buy them, and it'd just be them just fucking about. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, it'd just be like instrumentals, and then you just hear like just for ages, and like
you can't listen to it for too long. Like.
That's one of those things. It's a real shame because I remember when I started secondary school, it was, there was the mixtapes and sort of those little demo tapes where you'd got all of that weird stuff going on, and there was also like the live tapes that you'd get from things like Dreamscape and Helter Skelter, like the live raves and all of that stuff. It used to be copies and copies of copies off of mates to get all that stuff, and none of it seems to exist online anymore. Like all of that stuff from that era, all of that, like all the stuff that's like live DJ recordings and stuff, it's just all vanished. It's really hard to find any of that stuff. It was insane.
I know, because like the thing is that with like YouTube and Spotify and all that kind of stuff, pretty much if you can remember a segment of a tune from like way back, you will be able to find it now online. But what you can't find is like, do you know when you like remember an amazing remix or like some different cut that somebody had done of like a track, and you just thought, oh fuck, it was really great in that. You just can't find it. I mean, occasionally you do, but like you said, those things don't exist. Well, so you just got
that Cash Money sale. Like my dad's got it on vinyl. I've looked online and there's only like a really low quality video of it, and the sound quality is awful. So there is definitely, because my dad's still got all his vinyl, there's definitely a vinyl of that that championship in my dad's house somewhere that is the best version of the audio that there is, because no one's posted anything online anywhere. But I can't find it because he's got like 30,000 records or something, and it's just buried in his house. But yeah, it's just all lost. It's all in cupboards somewhere, or rotting if it's cassettes.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
So you've got a good lineage in hip hop. Do you still listen to it now? Because obviously most of the people that we talk to on this, like a lot of them have carried on listening to it as much as they ever did. Rumadge has never really listened to it. Most people sort of drift away from it and then maybe you've come back to it more recently. What's your relationship?
A couple of times. So I went up until about, it was like Britpop. When Britpop happened, then I sort of drifted that way for a few years. And I think there was the Fugees, The Score was a big album when I was at sixth form, and I spent a lot of time with that. But I sort of drifted more towards R&B stuff, sort of mid-90s, because R&B was amazing mid-90s. There was so much good stuff.
What kind of stuff for you? What kind of R&B stuff for you, reckon?
Anything. Like a lot. I mean, chart stuff. So there was like Boyz II Men, who's SWV, genuinely, because my dad was a DJ. There was all that sort of stuff, but that's TLC, like, which again, you know, there's sort of the single stuff, but some of the album stuff on Crazy Sexy Cool was really nice. But a lot of sort of kind of female vocal groups I was sort of really into. On Vogue was great. That's not quite, you know, it all sort of floats somewhere between, doesn't it?
But I remember, like, because at that time, when you're talking like mid-90s, I R&B was great, you're right. But also, there was that was a time, more than any other period, where you'd see rappers jumping on R&B tracks and vice versa.
It all blurred.
It's like, I don't know if it blurred into one, but there was massive crossover there. Like, for example, like SWV, they had Wu-Tang on like one of their tracks. Apparently, the story is that Suge Knight forced Wu-Tang violently to be on that track, but it still exists. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I remember like, There's an Aaron Hall track, Sensitivity. Do you remember Aaron Hall? Did you ever listen to Aaron Hall? So Aaron Hall, there's a remix of Sensitivity where with Redman on it. Curiosity, not Sensitivity. Curiosity with Redman on it. And Redman fucking he spit, like, it's amazing. What he does on that track is amazing. But it's like a remix of it, of an R&B track.
Hey, yo, word is born. This the way the East Coast rocks. Home of the hip-hop, hustlers and drop tops. And who I be, Mr. 07103. Spitting hollow point lyrics, but there's no gun on me. My heart's cold like winter, so enter. Heat the party up with the Remy and Ginger. Now who's next to test these steeds? Redman and Aaron Hall, real vocalese. Freeze!
And also, a lot of time, because I did roller skate a lot, because I could get in the rink for my dad was, so the R&B stuff suited skating a bit more than the hip-hop stuff, I think. So it was sort of more, if you're, you know, going round and round and round and doing whatever then. So, smoother flow.
Smoother flow.
But yeah, so I got into, it was more Britpop, and then I think Eminem was the one that got me back. Marshall Mathers LP was the one that went up, because it, I mean, it blew my mind. It still does now. It's an incredible album. But then, more recently, it's been things like... Scroobius, Kate Tempest. I'm obsessed with Kate Tempest at the moment. Because I have this thing with her album, Let Them Eat Chaos, is it called? Seeing now everything's on Spotify, I can never remember the name of anything. But that album, I forget it exists. Then every 2 months I'll go back to it and just listen to the thing. And it's, I was talking to my wife about it last night, and it's the only thing I've ever listened to where it actually makes me breathless. Like, you hear that said as a thing, you took your breath away. But she's just so relentless. There's just so much coming at you, so many ideas, so many like images, and it's so dense, and it's coming at you so fast. You forget to breathe because you're just trying to keep up with her while she's doing it. It's incredible album.
Europe is lost. America lost, London lost. Still we are clamouring victory. All that is meaningless rules. We have learnt nothing from history. The people are dead in their lifetimes, dazed in the shine of the streets. But look how the traffic's still moving. Systems too slick to stop working. Business is good and there's bands every night in the pubs. And there's 2-for-1 drinks in the clubs. And we scrubbed up well, washed off the work and the stress. And now all we want some excess. Better yet, a night to remember that we'll soon forget.
All didn't of
the
start
blood out. She's a poet. I mean, she publishes most of her stuff in books as well, but it's just sort of like political. It's hip hop, beat poetry. It's all over, but it's incredible. That album's incredible. Stormzy as well. Listen to a lot of Kendrick. I've started to get my head around, but I've not really listened to much of it. But I just don't have as much time. I've got a kid as well now, so I've got a 2-year-old daughter, and there's not much I can listen to in the house that I want to impose upon a 2-year-old girl. Especially the older stuff. Most of it is unforgiving. None of the two live crew in the house, exactly.
It's really hard, actually. How old did you say your daughter was?
Two. She just turned two.
Two, right. Yeah. So two is difficult because she is soaking up everything that she's hearing. Right?
All those words are going in there to be turned into things she says. It's that age.
I had a thing, like, recently, because we got, our youngest is three, and, like, I got sent, like, a little clip of like a thing, like an edit of a thing I'd done, and I said to the like Lisa and the kids, I said, do you want to have a quick look at this and tell me what you think? I don't normally do that, but like, so they, we were just watching it, and for some reason I'd forgotten that right at the end of it I just stare right down the barrel of the camera and then go fuck. And like, so we're sitting watching it and they're all laughing or whatever, and then it gets to the end and then suddenly I remembered, and then and then it was too late. I just literally go fuck. And then, obviously, our youngest just turns to Lisa and goes, fuck. And then I sort of had to try and convey to Lisa, we cannot react to this word. Because if you do...
Yeah, of course. No, you never acknowledge it. Never acknowledge it. Just let it go.
Yeah. That is the only thing this kid's going to say for the next 6 months. Yeah. So you've got to you've got to just pretend it's totally normal.
Just move on to the next one.
Anyway, it wasn't good. But you saw Eminem live, right?
I did. It's the only hip hop gig I've been to live, and I saw it because I live in Milton Keynes, so I saw him at Milton Keynes Bowl.
Right. So how big is Milton Keynes Bowl?
I think it's like maybe 20,000, 30,000. It's huge. It's like an open arena thing. So it's massive. Right. On the Anger Management tour. But the main thing I remember from it is that every, like, between tracks, the main thing he kept shouting was "Hello London" and "Thank you London," because what happened in, like, Milton Keynes is maybe 30 miles out of London, so clearly somebody had booked it and told Eminem he was playing London, but not had the good grace to tell him that actually he wasn't.
Did the Milton Keynes audience accept that, or were they pissed off about it? Or did they just think that's one of those?
Oh, we didn't. Oh, I mean, if you live in Milton Keynes, you have to have a sense of humour about where you come from. So there wasn't too much anger, but everybody was laughing every time he did.
So on that gig, first of all, was Eminem any good on that gig? Because that was like him at his peak, right? I mean, Anger Management Tour was big, right? So
it was after Eminem's show, which I don't like as much as Marshall Mathers, but yeah. Obviously he was still playing all the stuff from the first two albums and some of the bigger stuff off the third. So it was peak Eminem, and he had 50 Cent there, D12, Cypress Hill supported, which was amazing, because Cypress Hill was another one. Go back to that Ice-T cassette. Black Sunday was another one that I had very early on that was amazing. So seeing them was incredible.
It was
like, in terms of lineups for a hip hop gig, it was like they sent everybody to my hometown to let me watch all of them be amazing. It was
incredible. Was Cypress Hill good live?
They were really good because what they did was they knew that everybody who had come to see Eminem, but they all remembered Black Sunday, so they played Black Sunday. They didn't turn up and just do new stuff. They played a lot of like tunes that everybody remembered.
It's so annoying. If they'd have come out and gone, y'all remember Black Sunday? Well, here's some new stuff that isn't Black Sunday. Just watch everyone just be fucking furious.
No, they played the proper stuff. So it was great.
You know, like, Be Real, his voice, did it sound the same live as it did on the record?
I mean, no, but you know when you're at a live gig and it's just that they're there and it's happening and that's enough for you to look past most of it. Like, I imagine if you played me a recording of Cypress Hill at Milton Keynes Live in 2003, I would be very disappointed by that recording. But at the time, Cypress Hill were playing Insane in the Brain, and that was more than enough reason to jump up and down like a lunatic and lose my shit.
Yeah, that would have been fucking sick. And Cypress Hill's first album, by the way, is amazing. It's well worth a listen. What it's funny you mentioned, because 50 Cent was there, right? So had he gone bigger? That's, I imagine he would have done, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think timeline for 50, whether he had or not. I think he was still more part of Eminem's crew than being his own thing at that point. Like, I remember it. Maybe he was just breaking through, because I remember the name mattering that he was going to be doing it.
Yes, right.
He didn't do his own set or anything beforehand. He came on and guested on a few things and sort of, did the two-man thing. But so it must have been just as he was coming through, I think.
Well, because I don't know if you've seen this. I don't know if either of you have seen this on Twitter. But, 50 Cent basically kind of ended Ja Rule's rap career. I don't know if you remember, but they had big beef or whatever. But Ja Rule, were you a Ja Rule fan, Steve? Have you ever been a Ja Rule fan?
That's one of the gaps. I've never really got back to that. So.
Rumad, are you a Ja Rule fan?
I'll dip in and out when I'm feeling low.
You dip in and out of Ja Rule when you're feeling low?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, okay, fine. You commit to it. You commit to it, mate. Ja Rule, right? So he's basically just reignited his beef with 50 Cent. So, Jack, I've got his Twitter in front of me. Fun hip hop facts.
Has he got an album coming out or something?
I don't know. This is what I don't understand. But anyway, January the 19th, he tweets, "Fun hip hop fact: 50 Cent is a pussy." Right?
How old is that?
Then he tweets a little bit later, "Let's be clear, I mind my business, but for some reason, 50 Cent, and by the way, just to give you an idea of how real Ja Rule is, he's @ing 50 Cent in his tweets.
Wonderful.
So let's be clear, I mind my business, but for some reason, @ 50 Cent keeps my name in his mouth. I think he'd rather have my dick in his mouth, LMAO.
Wow.
# tickle booty.
Wow.
Right, and then he said, "Come on, let's keep it a buck. 50 Cent is my son, my student, young Padawan. Lol, you owe me your life, boy." So he's thrown in a Star Wars reference in there, which I think is nice. I'm not going to read all of them. It turns out that Ja Rule has known this about 50 Cent for a while. 50 Cent likes his arsehole being played with during sex. So Ja Rule has started talking about this. This is another tweet. By the way, these are getting thousands of retweets, right? From now on, everyone can refer to 50 Cent as # tickle booty, because
what is # tickle booty?
Because he likes his arsehole being played with.
He loves his arsehole being tickled. That's fine.
Yes, but Ja Rule has come up with a nickname, Tickle Booty.
I thought that was the name of his new album.
So apparently they're in on it. It's like a marketing scam. I don't know.
Oh, right. So they're doing it to sort of get people talking about it.
Fake beef.
But the thing is, if it is fake beef, I can't believe that 50 Cent sanctioned hashtag Tickle.
Yeah, like, let's go with this asshole.
I just can't see how that would be a thing. You'd go, wouldn't you pick something else?
It made me want to go back and check Ja Rule out right now just for that.
Now, one of the other things you said, because we sort of like to ask people before they come on what kind of stuff they're into.
Yeah.
You're a PM Dawn fan, right?
I mean, again, it was a singles, but like the frustrating thing with PM Dawn is, like, we talked about cassettes and Spotify and all those things, is PM Dawn is another one of those ones where you can't go back and find his stuff. There's some sort of rights ownership stuff over all his stuff. So the only, if you go on Spotify and you try to get, say, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss or anything from that sort of era, those first two albums that he did, they're not on Spotify. They're not anywhere. They're not, you can maybe buy a CD somewhere, but if you want to listen to them online, they're not there. It's the only thing you can find is re-recorded versions, which are just the worst thing in music.
That thing on Spotify where you think you're about to listen to the record by the person, and then you discover it's from, like, Croydon Day.
Oh, no. These are worse. Like, no, these are worse. These are 20 years later, old sad PM Dawn re-recording them so that he can make some Spotify money.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Not actual PM Dawn.
Actual Peter Michael Dawn, to give him his old name, has sat in his bedroom 20 years later in his bed sit, plugged his laptop had a fucking go, and then stuck him on the internet. I mean, I'm being glib. Actually, he's re-recorded a load of stuff, and I think he's still active. He's doing well, so I'm taking a piss. But he has re-recorded.
Because KRS-One had beef with him, didn't they? Remember that?
Yeah, so KRS-One.
He stormed the stage and pushed him off the stage.
Was it a London date he did it?
I don't know.
But I know,
but yeah, he basically pushed him off the stage.
Yeah, it was a live gig, and KRS-One was like, didn't see PM Dawn as like proper hip hop, and so rushed the stage and basically threw him off the stage,
and then started playing his own tunes.
Yeah. KRS-One, it shows an incredible self-confidence, because I don't believe when I'm on tour that the audience are going to like me despite having bought tickets to see me, regardless, like let alone, you know, if I fucking went to like a Russell Howard gig and rushed him off the stage. I was like, who wants to hear some of my shit?
Who would be the comedian that would push you off, would storm on stage during your set?
Who would
got that much beef that they push you off the stage?
I don't know. I mean, I guess with comedy, you never know, do you? Because, like, nobody would say it to your face. So I imagine there's some guy.
You know who it is? It's whatever comic is always unreasonably polite when he meets you. Yeah. It's that guy. Never trust anyone in comedy that's nice to you to your face.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hip hop grapes.
What do you not like about hip hop?
We started out talking about like 99 Problems and Two Live Crew. We want some pussy, and it's not even that I don't like it. It's just the thing I just cannot work out how okay it was and how not okay it is now. I can't reconcile it, and I can't get comfortable with it. So I go back and say that We Want Some Pussy is a great song, because it's just. Imagine being a woman at a gig when that got played. It must have been terrifying, but it was all fine. But it was just fine then. And when I was a kid hearing it, I was just very excited about the idea of having fun times with ladies. And it was rude and exciting. So I never had any sense of actually the reality of the language that was being used and what that meant. And it's I think because now I've got the kid and I'm thinking about, like, one of the things I want to do is I want to try not making... But I want to put together a playlist of kid-friendly hip-hop and rap stuff, but not... I don't want censored stuff where it bleeps, but it's still clear they're talking about, you know, drugs and drugging women, and then while their uncle just doing abysmal things to them. But stuff like Express Yourself by NWA, that sort of thing, where actually they've made a choice to not swear or you know, have a positive message in it and do something more creative with the language, that sort of stuff, because I'd love to show my kids some of that stuff, but if I'm going to play her NWA, I've got to play her Express Yourself. I can't responsibly as a parent play her a lot of the other stuff in their back catalogue.
I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate, add it on a dope beat.
Well, I totally agree with you. The problem you've got there, though, the slight problem you've got there, is... that if she like really likes Express Yourself by NWA, and you're only allowed to listen to the problem is, she might not dig into it and think that that's representative of NWA's work. Yes, sure. And then she'd be like, you know how like Phoebe and Friends never got allowed to watch the ending of movies?
Oh god,
like she'd just be like going around going, oh, like, I really like NWA, really positive, and like, you know, like I really find them empowering, which they are, yeah, in their own kind of different way. But yeah, but I tell you what though, you have genuinely brought up an issue that has been an ongoing issue in this podcast, but I think you've inspired me to do something about this, Steve. So what we're going to do is, because you want a thing of kid-friendly hip-hop, we are, when this podcast goes out, we're going to tweet out requests.
Oh, nice.
for kid-friendly hip-hop. So like you said, it can't be stuff where they've bleeped it out. It's got to be like hip-hop songs that are in their original version, but just happen to be decent for kids, right?
I don't want a 1990s single where Postman Pat did
no,
a rap.
Exactly.
I want like proper music from proper artists.
We don't want anybody tweeting back, "Oh, do the Bartman" or some shit like that. We actually want hip hop. So, and then what we're going to do?
PM Dawn.
Yeah, we'll put it out as a Spotify list. So we put the Spotify list together, and then we did a Spotify list, Steve, for this podcast. And unfortunately,
yeah, what's happened to that?
Well, we allowed open access and it's been fucking polluted by the general public. So I think we'll have to keep this one closed. But so if you're when you listen to this, tweet us suggestions for kid-friendly hip-hop and we're going to put it out. We're going to change people's lives because the children of the future, we want them listening to hip-hop. So we're going to do it, Steve. This is very exciting. You've inspired.
Yeah, I like it.
And actually, like you think, like Eminem's got some crazy stuff, but there are a few of his that were singles that are pretty much clean that you can find your own. So there are a lot of like huge artists that have got a few of those there.
Yes,
you can track them down.
So it's, yeah, all right. So we're going to do that. So thank you, Steve, nice, for inspiring us to do that.
Thank you.
What's the hashtag?
Hashtag is, oh, I don't know actually.
Not tickle booty.
Not how about hashtag not tickle booty? Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's the hashtag. Yeah, there you go. Although people won't have listened to the podcast and think it's fucking random, but anyway, we'll have to put an actually appropriate hashtag onto that. So, Steve, we're out of time here, but I want to give you a recommendation. Are either of you listening to any current hip hop? Have any of you listening to an album currently that you want to mention? If you're not, that's
other than
fine.
The stuff I've said, not really, man. No.
What about you, Rumaj?
No, nothing's jumping to mind.
Okay, so I am going to recommend to you and to the listeners, I have actually mentioned this in another podcast I've been on this week, but I'm listening non-stop. It is a guy called Aminé, and the album is called Good For You. And it's like, on the cover, he's sitting on the toilet reading a newspaper and looking at the camera, which is weird, but the album is amazing. It's kind of like...
how do you spell Aminé?
A-M-I-N-E.
Right.
So, do you like the way I said accent? Is it E with an accent or accent E? How do you say that?
I like the way you said it.
Okay, cool.
If I'm
cool,
typing
cool.
I put the accent first.
So this album, the reason I like it is, he's a great rapper, but it's quite a light kind of... It's not poppy... But it is, he can write a hook as well. So it's kind of commercially hip-hop. Let's get going, like a Tarantino movie. Don't wanna talk it out, can we fuck it out? Cause we gon' be up all night, fuck a decaf. You see, I'm a tall thug, guess I'm a giraffe. If you want safe sex, baby, use the knee pad. Freaky with the sticky, icky, baby, give me kitty, kitty. Killer, West Side, nigga. Boy, you like 98 degrees and I'm 300, nigga, keep your feet running. I keep when I eat these beats. Better boy, get scarred. Don't run up in my lane, I don't want you in my lane. You a lame, get swerved. It's fucking wicked, I've been listening to it non-stop. And it's got some...
I'm downloading it as we speak.
And it's got some... The reason I mention it, Steve, particularly for you, is like, because you sort of like... Because you used to listen to a bit of your R&B, it's got some R&B flavoured stuff on it as well. But that is my Romesh recommendation for this podcast. So there you go.
Well, if we're recommending, then if anybody who hasn't listened to Kate Tempest, I'm sure a lot of people have. If you haven't and you've looked at it and thought that's not for me, get on it because it's incredible.
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
Steve, is there anything you're up to at the moment that you want to plug?
So Go 8-Bit, my TV show, starts on Dave on Monday the 12th of February for 10 weeks. So yeah, watch that TV show and then hopefully they'll let me make more. And then if you want to watch all the online stuff I'm doing, I've got YouTube stuff, stuff on Twitch, do a podcast with Sam Pamphlon as well. Go to stevemcneil.co.uk and all the stuff's on there. So just get on my website, it's easiest.
Wicked.
Yeah, come and see my things.
Rumage, have you got anything to plug?
We can plug the live show we're doing.
Yes, so
it's already sold out.
Yes,
so
it is already sold out. We're doing Hip Hop Save.
Your eyes peeled for returns.
We're doing Hip Hop Save My Live on February the what is it? February the 8th.
February the 8th.
Yeah. At the Moth, and it's sold out. It is sold out. What I can announce? Shall I announce this? What I can announce?
Yeah.
Is that at that gig we will be selling Hip Hop Save My Life T-shirts.
Wow.
Oh my God. It's gonna be.
Who's gonna do the? Who's gonna do the stall?
I don't know. I don't know, mate. Can you bring a flight with you? That'd be great. Everybody yeah. But anyway, we'll be announcing guests as a win. Not because we haven't booked the guests, but we want to do this like staggered.
Definitely not because of that.
It's not because definitely we've. It's not because we've had anyone drop out or anything.
Yeah,
or
like, yeah,
so
yeah,
don't
yeah.
worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Dave, are you free to do another podcast?
Sure.
Listen, Steve, you've been a brilliant guest, man. We really appreciate having you on.
That's lovely to talk, man. Thanks for having me.
No, no worries. Take care. See you later, Rumage.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.